Good evening. It's a little bit wet out there, but we'll be all right. We'll try to get done before the big one moves in. If there's a big one coming, I don't know. I didn't watch any news, but I like to think of myself as a layman's anthropologist. I love human beings, and I love watching them. I don't necessarily like interacting with all of them, but I love watching people's behavior, especially from a distance. My friend Jeff and I, a game we like to play is just finding a place where it's highly populated and having conversations of people that we're watching that we imagine are happening. Probably not what they're saying, but it's a good pastime, and I've realized my whole adult life, as I guess as professionally as you can say that I've been professional, I've dealt with people usually in bad circumstances, whether at the hospital or the police department. Never really a good time to deal with people. A lot of lonely people, and tonight we're going to be there in Ephesians chapter 2. And talking a little bit about loneliness. I have talked to a lot of lonely people, single people who are lonely, married people who are lonely, poor and rich. You can find lonely people at every end of the spectrum. I think a lot of people that seek counseling revolves around that problem of loneliness. It plays out in different situations. But that root cause all comes down to being lonely. The deepest human need is that of community. We need connection, and that's the way God wired us. It started when God created man. It says, then he created woman, saying that it's not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone, but that's how we can find ourselves feeling a lot of times. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians as a letter to some very lonely people. We're going to look there in verse 11 of chapter 2. And there it says, therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that it is at that time that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. The people there in Ephesus and the surrounding area were the Gentiles. And in other words, they weren't Jewish. And for centuries, the Gentiles had been the outcasts, according to the Jews. The Jews were God's people. The Gentiles were excluded. They weren't circumcised, which was a sign of God's covenant with the Jewish people. The Jewish people looked at those without that as disgusting, and that they had no rights to the promise of the covenant. They were without hope and without God. They were a lonely people. The people of God saw themselves as an exclusive club, and the Gentiles weren't invited until this moment. The cross of Jesus Christ leveled that playing field. There, God no longer had a special chosen people to the exclusion of everyone else. The cross of Christ opened that doors for all people. And maybe there's still some that don't believe that. You can come to church, but don't believe that you really belong. Or you can listen to the Word of God and you don't think that it applies to you. You can hear those words that God loves you, but you can't see that really being true. But that's exactly how Satan wants you to think. He wants you to believe that kind of stuff. He wants you to keep feeling like you're alone, that you don't belong. He wants you to live in this perpetual loneliness, believing that Christianity is an exclusive club that you haven't been invited to. But then, there in the next verse, Paul gives us the truth there in verse 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility. The blood of Christ serves as the bulldozer that God uses to knock down the walls. Because of Jesus' death there on the cross, the Gentiles were no longer excluded from the presence of God and the promises of God. And because of His blood, we aren't either excluded. Through the cross, we have a connection with God. The sin in our life creates a wall between us and God, and it's an impenetrable barrier. We can't get to God because God is holy. God cannot be in the presence of sin, and so if we have sin in our lives, we can't have access to God. It would be a compromise to God's holiness, and that's not going to happen. But the cross destroys that wall because the price of sin has been paid. But it even goes deeper than that. The cross is not just the moment where Jesus takes our sin. It's the moment where we take Jesus' perfection. And if you look over there in 2 Corinthians 5:21, there Paul says that God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On that cross, God changed His sinless Son into sin. And in return, He changes us into the righteousness of God. And that's how we can have access to God. If you are in Christ, God doesn't look at you and see your sin. He doesn't see the angry and lustful, lying and fearful and broken person that you can see in yourself. He looks at you and He sees your He sees His righteousness. He sees complete perfection. That's the power of the cross. The barrier is forever broken down. And instead of being far from God, we're brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And so we've got to find a way to stop living like God is some far-off cosmic being and start living like He is here with us now. We have to stop living like we're not good enough, that we'll never measure up. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. We have to find a way to stop wallowing in the guilt of the past, allowing the past to determine your future. That past, once you're in Christ, is nailed to the cross, and God doesn't remember it anymore. Jesus became your sin, and you have to become the righteousness of God. If you are in Christ, that's what God sees when He looks at you. And there was a lot of things that happened when Christ died on the cross. And maybe one of the craziest things is when the temple curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. The Bible says there in Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51, that when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. The curtain stood as an entrance to the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And this represented the very presence of God. And access was very restricted. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and he could only enter one day a year. Anyone else who entered that place was to be put to death. But when Christ uttered that last phrase and died on the cross, this huge thick curtain, this barrier that was between us and God, was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And I think the top to the bottom is significant because it shows it was done by the hand of God. God Himself tore this curtain in two because this restricted things of the past. Now, the blood of Jesus was going to welcome all into His presence. There is no wall. There is no barrier. Nothing standing between you and God. And a lot of people miss this. They believe that they still need a mediator between God and them. Maybe they pray to Mary or some other dead person to intercede for them. They go to a priest or they go see another religious leader so that that person can be a liaison between them and God. But we don't need any of that. The cross of Jesus Christ means that we have direct access to God. It means that He's with us when we're at our best and when we're at our worst. When we're at that highest high and when we're at that lowest low, He's still with us. But sometimes that doesn't stop us from being lonely. We can live in a world where we have thousands of friends on various social media things online and still be incredibly lonely. You can not have a single real friend that you can talk to. You can be the most interconnected, accessible culture to ever hit this planet and still find yourself to be incredibly lonely. But let me take it one step further than that. You can spend your entire life in the church. You can give yourself to Christ, and you can absolutely believe that God is with you all the time and still find yourself lonely. And I don't mean that to sound very controversial, because it may sound like I'm suggesting that God is not enough to cure our loneliness. And maybe that is somewhat of a controversial thing to say. But here's one more thing. God is not enough to cure you of your loneliness. You don't just need God. You need the people of God. And before you think that I've went off the deep end and that I'm teaching that God's not all sufficient to your needs, let me finish this out. Your personal connection to God isn't enough to keep you from being lonely. Yes, God is with you all the time, and yes, you are never alone. But God chooses to minister to us through His presence and through His people. If you rely on one or the other, you're going to come up short. And again, that's the beautiful thing about the cross, is that we are connected to each other. The church of Jesus Christ needs to understand the cross of Jesus Christ, that we need, that we are connected through that cross, and that fact connects us to each other. Following Jesus isn't about keeping certain kinds of people out. It's about throwing open the doors and allowing all kinds of people to come in. In Paul's text here, he reminds the people that the Jewish people loved keeping themselves separate from the Gentiles. They loved this idea of being an exclusive club while the Gentiles were kept out. But look at what he says here in verse 14. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh and the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Through the cross, this Jew-Gentile distinction was gone. That wall was completely destroyed. God created one new man out of two, thus making peace. And so you got to understand, a lot of Jews did not like this idea, that they weren't part of this exclusive club anymore. And a lot of Christians don't like this idea. But we are not an exclusive club either. The gospel is good news for everyone. And that means instead of the exclusive, the church doors should be ripped open off their hinges to allow everyone to have access to Jesus. That means the more the Church of Jesus pursues the mission, the more sinful people are going to come through the doors. And that's how we should like it. And if you don't like being around sinners, then I think the church is not where you should be. Because I think that is the ultimate goal. Those are the people we should be reaching. For those of us who are Christians, we have to stop living our lives or our faith like it's some kind of VIP exclusive club. Jesus didn't die to make us better than other people. He died to make us servants of other people. He died to make us His ambassadors to other people. In the church, we are God's representatives to each other. God's presence manifests itself among His people. And I've met more than one person who said, I don't need the church, or that I worship God on my own. I need Jesus, but I don't need that church. That's wrong. That's 100% false. You can't find one bit of biblical evidence to support that. You need Jesus, and you need His church. Jesus ministers to us through people. And that's why we don't exclude certain types of people, because those people need Jesus. That's why we need each other, because Jesus is who we are to each other. And that's why the connection to the church is so critically important to combat that loneliness that so many struggle with. So many people feel like they're alone. They can say that they know God is with me, but they can't actually see Him. But you can. You can see God, because He's here. The church is the body of Christ, and Jesus shows up every time that we do. In a very real way, your connection to God is never greater than your connection to the church. Your connection to the church determines the quality of your connection to God. The church is where you experience the preaching of God's Word. The church is where you remember the death of Jesus through the Lord's Supper. The church is where you join other believers in the unity of God's love. The church is where you're reminded that you're not alone. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you find that you're not alone. Whatever you're struggling with, you're not alone. And here, sometimes, is where the church can drop the ball. We are usually very good about rallying around people who are hurting or grieving. We rally around people who are lonely because of a certain circumstance. But what about those that are lonely because of their sinfulness? There are some who feel incredibly lonely because they think that they're the only one going through some specific sin. No one else is facing a fear like they are. No one struggles with worry like they do. No one else's problems are as big as theirs is. But here's another truth about that. Somebody else, whatever your problem is in this room, is going through or has gone through the same kind of situation. Our problems are not snowflakes, in a sense. We've all dealt with the same situations. But so many times, it feels like the church forces us to feel alone because we can create this culture of concealment instead of confession. Instead of a place of authentic confession, church can become a masquerade. And a lot of times, what winds up happening is that the church is the last place where you feel that you can be real. And that's not the way God intended church to be. The church is the one place where you should be able to openly confess what you're struggling with, so that you can find that help and support that you need to overcome those struggles. In James chapter 5, God commands us to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Not confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to each other. And that means some of us here today might need to get over ourselves. But if I actually confess my sins, people aren't going to think that I'm perfect anymore. Hey, we already don't. We know you're not perfect. We know that you're messed up. And maybe if you're too prideful to confess your sins, maybe you're more messed up than you thought. If you are serious about growing in Christ, then you need to be serious about confessing your sins so that people can start praying for you. And that's the point of this verse. If we confess our sins to each other so we can pray for each other, that's how we are healed. Some of you may be feeling lonely because you think your sin has ostracized you from all the good Christians out there. But you couldn't be more wrong. You are among people who are nothing more than forgiven sinners. And we will pray for you and those sins that you're struggling with. But you have to give the church the chance. And there might be some, like a prideful Pharisee, who are going to look down on your heartfelt confession. But you know, their opinion is really irrelevant. The church believes in the love of God and the power of prayer. And if you give church the opportunity, they're going to lift you up. They're going to pray for that healing to begin in your life. You're not alone in all of this. In verse 14 there, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus' death destroyed the wall of hostility. During this time period, there was a wall that surrounded the temple in Jerusalem, and a fence that prevented any Gentile from entering the inner courtyard of the temple itself. And on this wall, the Jews had posted large signs, and they chiseled it in stone. And the signs read that no Gentile shall enter this enclosing screen around the temple. Whoever is caught alone, is alone responsible for the death which will follow. The really interesting part to me is that not only did they chisel this in stone, but then they went and painted it red. So in big, bold, bright red letters, the Jews were telling the Gentiles to stay out. You don't belong. We're better than you. And if you come in, we're going to kill you. But the cross sends a very different message. And it's also written in red blood letters of Jesus. The cross says that you're welcome, that you do belong, that you are good enough, or you're not good enough, but Jesus is good enough, that he gave his life that you can be with him. And at the end of our passage here tonight, the Bible says again that he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have the access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Through the cross, God has proclaimed peace for all of us. There is no exclusive club. There are no VIPs. There are simply sinners who have been bought with the blood of Jesus. We have that connection to God. We have that same connection to each other. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Well, they come from a misunderstanding of what Jesus has actually done for us. Jesus' death has connected us to God and has connected us with each other. It means that you belong. It means that if you allow the church to be a support network for you when you're hurting, that they will lift you up in prayer when you're struggling, and they will walk with you in this life. If there is anyone here tonight that is subject to the invitation, we get 1 week closer every week we show up. Time runs out for all of us eventually, and we encourage you to take advantage of it while you can. If you would please stand while we sing.